To me, this scene reinforces the fact that however small your connection, however short the duration of a relationship, platonic or romantic, at any point in your life, the impact of it cannot be underestimated. And by extension, the impact you have on people cannot be underestimated. Welcome to the Sum of Everything podcast, where we discuss a little bit of a lot of topics, ranging from spirituality to finance and everything in between. I am your host, Aishwarya, a serial hobbyist with an unquenchable thirst for learning, especially through new experiences. In this podcast, we will scratch every itch of curiosity, explore various perspectives, step out of our comfort zone, and experience some of everything. Because after all, we are just that, a sum of all our experiences. So, let's dive right in. Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Sum of Everything podcast. It is officially February, and I don't know about you, but I am already seeing everything around me turn pink and red. Storefronts are starting to put out their red decorations, streamers, and balloons, and, well, the reason is obvious. Valentine's Day is around the corner, and that means all of February is going to be red. Now, why 14th of February is celebrated across the world as Valentine's Day? I don't know, man. You can Google it. But one thing's for sure. You can hate it, you can love it, but you simply cannot ignore it. Mainly because it's everywhere. Capitalism has definitely peaked with this particular holiday, and Hallmark and Archie's make a fortune. Personally, I don't really see the point of it. I don't think I've ever celebrated it. But I know that it's very important to some. So, it's here to stay. Now, traditionally, the expectation is on men to give gifts to their female counterparts or make this day special in any way that they can. But interestingly, with a little bit that I know about Korean culture, I know that Korea has a different. In Korea, women give chocolates to men on Valentine's Day. And this gesture is reciprocated on 14th of March, which is celebrated as White Day, where men gift women chocolates and all things white, apparently. Now, in all of this, the singles decided that they were not going to sit back and watch this unfold in front of them. So they decided to make their own day for celebration. And 14th April is resultantly celebrated as Black Day by the singles of Korea. They wear black clothes and get together and go eat jajangmyeon, which is a noodle dish with black bean sauce. And while Korea has its own way of having fun, even Valentine's Day in itself has moved away from the traditional expectation that it is a romantic holiday, and more people are treating it as simply a celebration of any kind of love. One of the biggest examples of this is Galentine's Day. And if the ladies listening to this podcast have never celebrated Galentine's, what are you doing? Grab your girlfriends and go have a ladies' night. Enjoy the miracle that is healthy female friendships. So one thing's for sure. Valentine's has evolved from being about romantic love to being about any kind of love. And keeping that in mind, February on Sum of Everything is going to be a celebration of love in all its forms. And the beginning of any kind of love, in my opinion, whether platonic or romantic, is a fated encounter. I watched a movie recently called Past Lives. This is a semi-autobiographical work of Celine Song, and apparently it was nominated for an Oscar in 2023. So yeah, I know I'm late to this party. Anyway, the movie follows a writer called Nora, or Nayeong, who migrated to Canada from Korea in childhood and then to New York, where she eventually met and married Arthur, who is another writer. Around 7 years into their marriage, she reconnects with her childhood sweetheart, Hae-sung, who comes to New York to meet her after 24 long years. Now, this movie explores a very interesting Korean concept called Inyan, which the movie describes as providence or fate, but particular to human relationships. It goes on to say that if two strangers so much as brush sleeves while walking past each other on the street, it is inyan. Because even that little interaction is not coincidental and has been decided by their interactions in their past lives. The movie itself was personally not as exciting as the ratings and reviews made it out to be. Not least because by now I have some idea of how Koreans actually talk in their day-to-day lives. And the Korean used in this movie was all but grating on the ears. I also thought that the concept that they were exploring of inyan could have been much better portrayed by showing instances of inyan among not just the central characters, but among extras as well. But that's besides the point. The concept of inyan itself was very intriguing, so I did what I do best and I read up on it. While the movie looks at inyan from a romantic lens, my research showed me that there was a lot more to this. Inyan is derived from a Buddhist concept, which says that fate entwines two people throughout their past and future lives, and every interaction deepens this entanglement. And if there is a significant connection in your life, then it is the result of many thousands of inyan accumulated over thousands of lifetimes. The word inyan itself, in fact, can be traced back to a Chinese word, which in turn can be traced back to a Sanskrit word called hetu pratyaya, which means conditions and consequences. So, when you think about it, the concept of inyan can be traced much closer to home, to the belief that every action has its consequences, something that we believe in Sanatana Dharma itself. The more I read about this concept, the more intrigued I was by it. I read this beautiful comment on Reddit, which was taken from another comment from a YouTube video, and I wanted to share that here. It goes, "Even simply brushing clothes with someone is fate. Otkidman suchodo inyan." This is an old Korean proverb that means every interaction between you and another person, even a stranger on the street, is never an accident, but rather the elaborate result of your past lives and their intertwining to make that momentary interaction happen. Which means that if a simple passing by and brushing of sleeves of two strangers on the street has the elaborate workings of fate behind it, how intertwined must the lives of family members be? That, to me, is the beauty of inyan. Being born to a set of parents is inyan. The relationship that you have with your siblings, your cousins, and your best friend even is inyan. But it's not just that. Even the most seemingly inconsequential of interactions are inyan. For example, recently my sister and I were at an airport, and while in line for our security checks, my sister simply handed over one of those trays to an old lady next to us, and that lady was so profusely grateful for that seemingly minute act of kindness. That is inyan. I happened to go to a movie recently, and it was a BTS-related movie, and got to talking with this lady sitting next to me. We found out that we were both in our 30s, and the way we consumed BTS content was very different as opposed to the much younger fans of the band. We did exchange numbers, but haven't spoken since. But even that is inyan. When you think about it, the concept of inyan suggests that these encounters, which we may think are coincidental or accidental, are more than that. They are a cosmic tug on our sleeve with the universe saying, hey, this person is important in your journey. Your soul needed to come into this energetic bubble for whatever it was required to do for the soul to achieve its purpose. Now, as it generally happens with concepts such as these, Inyon is largely looked at from a romantic lens. The most common way of looking at it is through the notion that while all relationships are inyon, the most important of them all is the love that you find with your soulmate. There is a legend that surrounds this. Koreans believe that when a baby is born, destiny takes the form of a grandmother spirit and descends to earth with a red thread, known commonly as the red thread of destiny, and ties the red thread to the finger of the newborn and winds and loops it through the person's life, tying the child to every person in their inyon, until the thread finally leads to and ends at the finger of the person that they will love forever. The catch, however, is that to actually find this person, you have to keep an eye on the thread and take every interaction seriously, because that's the way it's supposed to be. Or as they say in Korean, 원래 그런 거야. This means that every interaction you ever have with any human being, big or small, significant or insignificant, finally leads you to the person who is supposed to be your soulmate. And if you ignore someone or you lose sight of the red thread, then you will be lost forever, which means that you will never find the soulmate that you are looking for. Now, this grandiose notion of everlasting love and finding your true soulmate is romantic, but I see two main issues with it. For starters, I personally am of the very firm belief that what is meant to find you will find you, even if you get lost on the way. It will come to you one way or the other. You're just going to have to find the shortest way to it or take longer routes when you're taking detours. Another problem is that this whole fixation with finding your happily ever after that all the fairy tales and K-dramas and movies and rom-coms have all fed to us is that when we're caught up in this enchantment, we forget that there is a lot more to life after finding your happily ever after. What happens next? Do people who have found their soulmates or spouses already not have to pay attention to inyon or any of their interactions thereafter? Does it mean that none of their relationships after finding your one true soulmate mean anything? Are they not important? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trashing the belief in its entirety. I am, however, saying that the interpretation can be different. You can look at the story from a different lens, and the takeaway from it can be a lot more wholesome. What I like to interpret from this story is that while you're working towards your destination, whatever that might be, it is important to pay attention to every connection that you have, to every interaction you have, small or big. In other words, it's important to pay attention to the journey rather than the destination. I love the concept that all your present interactions will affect you in the future, whether it be in this life or in some future one. In the movie, when Nora and Haesung are catching up in Korean with Nora's husband sitting by and not understanding a word of it, they somewhat wistfully reminisce about the past and wonder whether, if things had gone differently, they would have ended up together, gotten married, had kids. But in the end, they conclude that in this particular life, their inyon was to be just that, to the extent of being childhood sweethearts and somewhat friends. The significance of this scene is major, and it calls back to an earlier moment in the movie where Arthur, Nora's husband, in his insecurity and vulnerability, asks whether he means as much to Nora as she does to him. He tells her that she makes his world bigger and asks if he does the same for her. But Nora's response is categorical and firm and loud. Arthur is the one she ended up with. And that is their inyon. However, that does not diminish the value that Hyesung brought into her life. And this is particularly significant in the final moments of the movie, when Nora walks back to her husband after dropping off Hyesung at his cab and falls into his arms, sobbing. To me, this scene reinforces the fact that however small your connection, however short the duration of a relationship, platonic or romantic, at any point in your life, the impact of it cannot be underestimated. And by extension, the impact you have on people cannot be underestimated. It all comes back to the same thing, treating people with kindness and love. Because you never know what they might end up meaning to you or what you might end up meaning to them. Even in the movie, when Hyesung and Nora conclude that in this lifetime, their inyon is meant to extend to just friendship, they wonder what their inyon would be in their next lifetime. Hyesung says, "What if this is a past life as well, and we are already something else to each other in our next life? What do you think we are then?" They continue to banter on as the viewer is left to ponder that question. What would you do if you had irrefutable evidence that all your interactions determined the quality of your future connections? Wouldn't you want to reminisce 20, 30, 50 years from now fondly about the people that you are with today? This reminds me of a quote from the famous and wise Andy Bernard. And if you don't know who Andy Bernard is, then your pop culture education is in some serious need of attention. Andy says, "I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them." Well, I thought of an answer to that. Treat every day like you would want it to be reminisced 20 years from now. Then your whole life will be the good old days. And with that, I will end this episode. I hope you liked it, and I will see you in the next one. Bye-bye.